Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. I want to invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8 today, and we will likely make this our last message in our study of 2 Timothy, this study we're calling Legacy. The last section there you can read later, and the end of chapter 4 is mostly just some concluding remarks by Paul. But it is good to see you today. I want to tell you about some exciting things going on in the life of our church. We've had some really neat stuff happening. Our mission trips that have taken place and some other ones that are coming up. You'll hear more about that a little bit today and in the weeks and months to come. Some opportunities for you if you're so inclined. Also, if you recall back in 2018, our budget formation discussion time, we decided as a church to invest some resources in church partnerships and helping some sister churches in our area, and want to help in giving financially and providing support through different resources, our people, different things we can bring to bear, a whole variety of things we can do to help some of our sister churches in our area, because we believe that God has put us here to not just enjoy what He's given to us, but to invest it in other churches and bless other people. So we're very excited that we have been in conversation with Coolidge Baptist Church, and they recently voted as a church to enter into a partnership with us, and we're just thrilled about that. You're going to hear a lot more about opportunities in which our church can make a difference and help them, and ways in which they can help us, because it's all about the kingdom. We're called to kingdom work together. Immediately, we're going to have the opportunity, and I think this is going to be a real needle mover for their church. Their pastor is bivocational, and we're going to be able to help provide some funding to get him to full time so he can give us full attention and devotion to that congregation. So that's just one example of many to come, ways we can be a blessing to that fellowship. So pray for Coolidge Baptist, and we look forward to that relationship developing in the weeks and months to come. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, I hope you're excited about that. We have work to do this week. We need to invite people to be here. At the end of the service, you're going to receive a card that's got our Easter experience information on it, and I hope you'll choose to invite someone or multiple people even to be here and be a part of our Easter service. People are very open to an invitation to come to church any Sunday, and especially Easter. Statistics, people that study this stuff say that about 84% of people say they are willing to come to church if someone invited them. And yet, over 70% of people in church have no plans to invite anyone in the future. So we have some work to do. We need a heart change. So many of us are not thinking about who we need to invite, and yet there are people out there who are willing to come. They need to be here. They need to learn about the love of God in Christ. So I hope you will pray about who you need to invite and have here next Sunday on Easter. There are three services. You pick the one that works best for you, and I know it'll be an encouragement to you, and it could be life-changing for someone else. So pray about that. Invite people to be here next Sunday morning for Easter. All right, let's dig in. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper together. Let's read there, beginning of verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time studying Your Word. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide, our helper, as we encounter Your timeless truth, Your life-changing Scripture. And we confess now, Lord, that our lives need to change, and we offer our lives to You, Lord. However You speak to us, we're committing already to change and to become the people You've called us to be. So may Your Holy Spirit guide us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned last Sunday that our family was on vacation. We went up to Atlanta during spring break, did some different things up there. And one thing we like to do is go shopping on spring break. And we made our way into the Buckhead area. There's some great shopping there, Lenox Mall and all that. And we went to that area. And if you're familiar with Buckhead, it's a very affluent area. People that live there seem to just have piles of money, I guess. It's a very affluent area. And we realized that driving in the parking lot of the mall, when we looked out the window and there was a kid about 10 years old sitting on the hood of a luxury car, just chilling right there on the hood of this car with a fan full of cash, and he was just fanning himself and rubbing cash all over, like $100 bills, and this kid's just living the dream out there on the hood of this luxury car. So when I saw that, I thought, you know, that is such a picture of where so many people are today. We're trying to find pleasure and all these different things. If I can climb high enough in my job and make enough money, have the right car, buy the right things, have the right experiences in life, then I'm going to have some level of fulfillment because of those things. And all the while, we know deep inside of us that those things are not going to bring lasting happiness. That's why we find that when we get those things, we feel like now we need to get the next thing, or we make this level of income, we need to work to get that level of income. We had this experience, now we need to go have this other experience, because those things, while they can be fun and enjoyable, or the resources can buy the things we need, that fulfillment never comes. We fail to learn the lesson of Solomon when he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to what he said. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. Or some translations, he was just chasing the wind. There was no way to catch it, no way to grab hold of that ultimate permanent fulfillment. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. If there was ever anyone we can learn from today to teach us how not to live that way, it's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul lived his life the right way for the right reasons. And now, as we look at 2 Timothy, you know, if you've been in our previous studies, he's coming to the end of his life, and he's speaking about his legacy. He's passing on his faith to his son in the faith, a guy named Timothy, who was a pastor of a church. And he's writing his last words. This is kind of his last will and testament. And he's telling Timothy the important things, and he's reflecting on his legacy. And now, as we come to the end of this letter, it's clear that Paul knows his life is about to end. He's in prison. He knows he's soon to be executed. And he has this sobering moment as he looks back over the timeline of his life. And he acknowledges that throughout all of his Christian life, he gave his very best to Jesus Christ. He lived his life for the right things, for the right reasons, for the right purpose. Now, don't get me wrong, Paul had a pretty tough past. Most of you know that he was a murderer of Christians before he became one. Many of you know that he had a lot of troubles in life. And one time he recounted how he had been beaten on multiple occasions by people that hated him. He had been shipwrecked. He had gone without. He was a castaway. He had been through all these different things in his life, all these struggles. In Romans, he says that he's the chief of all sinners. He's the worst one of the whole lot of sinful people. He wasn't perfect. But we find here in this passage that he had no regrets for how he lived for the Lord. His level of dedication to Christ. Look again at what he said in verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, the drink offering was poured on the lamb of the sacrifice just before it was burned on the altar. So the last step, you can look at this at Numbers chapter 28, they were to take the drink offering and pour it on that offering. And Paul is saying he has come to that last pouring out of his life, that last moment, the sacrifice he's lived for Christ. And he's saying, my life has been given as a sacrifice for Christ. I've given all of it, every last drop of who I am, my being, I've poured out for Christ. It's reminiscent of Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God. Now, this is, he's at the end now, so rewind the clock in Romans. He's writing here and he says this, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Paul says we need to give everything to Jesus Christ. And Paul did that. Now he says in the latter part of verse 6, the time for my departure is close. When it speaks of his departure, it's leaning in to the idea in the original language of loosening a rope, maybe to a tent or the moorings of a ship. In other words, Paul would no longer be a person temporarily living on this earth like a person camping in a tent. He was headed off to his heavenly home. Like loosening the ropes to a ship that's sailing away, he was setting sail to eternity. One author put it this way. He's setting sail to cross the waters of death to arrive in the haven of eternity. You see, for the Christian, death is exchanging the burden of earthly life for the eternal joy of heavenly life. And I want us to understand today what Paul emphasized in Philippians 1, that to depart from this life and to be with Christ is better by far. See, we're living this life to prepare us for the next. We're living this life to bring glory to God so that when we enter in His presence, we'll hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, for most of us today, when we think about coming to the end, it feels like that's a long way off. We hope it is, right? But we always feel like we have this full bank account of tomorrows. Like the end is never going to come. But I found in my life, and I'm sure you found this, time just moves along, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like just yesterday you were playing on a playground as a kid, or you were in high school, or you were just getting married, or just graduating from school, or just having your first child, and time just zooms on by, doesn't it? Time marches on. And it reminds us, as time moves so swiftly, that all of us are pushing toward eternity. And when we think about the immeasurable time we call eternity, it reminds us that this fleeting time on earth is so short, and that in reality, all of us are facing our soon departure. When you think about it in the scale of eternity, this life is but this tiny little sliver, and it's passing away so quickly, and the departure time for us is coming soon, like it was for Paul. And when we face the end of our days, I wonder, will we be able to look back at our lives and see a legacy that we left for the sake of Jesus Christ? There's a missionary that lived long ago. His name was C.T. Studd. He said it this way in a poem he wrote. This famous line from it said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Paul's writing here saying that he's coming to an end. He's pouring out his life as a drink offering. The time for his departure is soon. He's thinking about the present. I want us to take a moment and do what Paul does in the remaining verses. He looks to the past and then he looks to the future. And I think that can motivate us today to be the people that God's calling us to be. So let's take a moment and do what Paul did. And number one, reflect on the past. Paul uses athletic imagery here. He looks back at his life and he says with confidence three things. Number one, he fought the good fight. Life wasn't easy for Paul. He agonized over his work for the Lord. He fought the enemy. He suffered so many blows in his life. We mentioned a moment ago, he had been beaten, he'd been shipwrecked, lost at sea, all of that stuff. Yet, so often when we look at our lives compared to a life like that, we find that we so easily give up when the smallest inconvenience or difficulty comes in life. I appreciate you being here today. There's a storm on the way, and you probably had to make a decision whether or not you were coming. There are people today who just said, you know, it's too rainy, I think I'll stay home. Next week it might be too sunny. Then it'll be too cold, too hot, too perfect, too cloudy, whatever the case may be. We are so quick to just back away from our commitment to Christ. I wonder today in your life, have you been fighting the good fight? Have you been giving your life to things that truly matter? As you look back to the day you accepted Christ, can you say that you have fought through the hardship to keep living for Jesus? Have you fought the good fight? Paul then says in the second part there of verse 7 that he finished the race. Previously in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul gives kind of his purpose statement in life. He speaks of what his life was to be all about. As he looked toward how he wanted to live his life, he said this in Acts 20, 24, "I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course or my race and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." We need to understand, like Paul, why we were made, why we were saved. We're not saved simply or even primarily for our own sakes. We were saved, first of all, for the glory of God to be lived out and brought forth from the way we live and to fulfill our holy calling to be His witnesses to an unsaved world. As you think about your faith, will you finish strong? Will you finish your race? Will you be able to look back at your life and see that you've run all the way until the end, that you crossed the finish line, finishing the course that God laid out for you? Today, some of you are struggling in your race. You're struggling to live for Jesus in this course that God has laid out for you. And there are things that are standing in the way, things that are getting you tangled up, things that are causing you to fall by the wayside. Hebrews 12 says it this way, "Since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. Today, I hope you'll commit in your heart to live in such a way that at the end of your life, you'll be able to say, I finished. I did it. I kept running my race. I lived for the Lord until the very end. And then Paul says a third thing in the last part of verse 7. I've kept the faith. It's this athletic imagery again. It's the idea here of he followed the rules. He did what he was supposed to do. He followed the plays that were laid out just as you would in any sporting event. Paul had no regret, no sense of unfulfillment or incompleteness. After the Lord took control, he truly had lived his life to the fullest. Everything God had called Paul to do, everything he enabled Paul to do, Paul did it. So far in your journey, is your story that you have kept the faith? Have you done what you've been called to do? I mean, you think about it. If your life today was just a repeat of what you've already done, when you accepted Christ to this date today, all the way you've lived for Christ, if you just repeated that until the day you died, would you be able to say that you fought the good fight, that you finished the race, that you did what God called you to do, that you kept the faith? Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Reflect on the past today. Look at how you've been living for Christ. Is that the way you want to finish? Is that going to leave the legacy you want to live, that when you draw your final breath, when you're in Paul's position, which one day you will be in that situation, can you say that if I keep living the way I'm living, I will leave the legacy that I want to leave? Reflect on the past. Number two, realize faithfulness to Christ will be worth it. When you live your life for the Lord, it's not without reward. Look at verse 8. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing, or perhaps in your translation, longed for his appearing. We're going to receive this crown, Paul says. It's not a crown of royalty, but one that's placed on a victor in an athletic competition. Victory on earth is just the start. When we come to Christ, we become victorious over sin. We receive salvation. In other words, we're justified before God, but our salvation's a continual process. So at the point of salvation, you are justified. You are saved. Then in the Christian journey, you are being saved. You're being sanctified. You're being made like Christ. And then one day when we enter into eternity, we'll receive the fullness of our salvation, what we call glorification, when our salvation comes to completion. Paul's talking about that here, this crown of righteousness, this victory he's going to have in heaven once and for all. He speaks of those who have loved or longed for his appearing. So nod back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. The next verse in that passage says that we are to encourage one another with these words. If we love Jesus, if we long to see him, we will be encouraged and motivated to live for him. Today, are you living like Christ is coming again? Are you looking for his return? Are you motivated to live for him because he's coming for you? Only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Today, I want to encourage you, live for Jesus. Live a life that's going to leave a legacy. Live a life that will have no regrets. That one day you will enter into God's presence and hear those long-awaited words, well done, my good and faithful servant. As you think about the way you've been living, is it going to end in a legacy that's worth leaving behind? A legacy of love and devotion to Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for our time of study today. We thank you for Paul's confidence, his endurance, his faithfulness to the gospel. Lord, help us today to examine our lives and to evaluate the legacy we're leaving behind. Are we living for you as we should, as we desire? We pray, God, for your help and your strength, that we would begin living today according to the legacy we want to leave behind. That we could be the kind of people that could say that we have fought the good fight, that we have finished the race, that we have kept the faith, and now there's in store for us the crown of righteousness. Lord, we pray that we would be sober-minded, realizing that the time of our departure is soon. In the great backdrop of eternity, life here is so very short, and we need to live for your glory and your honor. So help us to do that just now, we pray. I hope that'll be your commitment today. I hope that you will draw close to Christ, and all the more as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, we're soon going to come to these tables and receive these elements, the bread and the cup. These are symbolic. They picture for us our Savior, Jesus Christ, the bread representing the body that was broken, the cup that symbolizes the blood that was spilled for our sins. And as we come today, we are reminded in this tangible way of the high cost that Christ paid to redeem us. So after we've had a time of prayer, because 1 Corinthians 11 says anyone that comes to the table ought to examine himself. We need to search our hearts and get right with God and ask for his help as we receive these elements. In time, as you feel led and prompted, you make your way to one of the tables. There are three at the front, there are two at the back, there are two tables in the balcony. As you feel led after a time of prayer, you come in a spirit of prayer and make your way to one of these tables. You can come by yourself. You can come with a friend or a family. Gather with some strangers, but you make your way forward. I do ask you this. If you look up at the time of the Lord's Supper from your time of prayer and you see a line form there, just take that as a sign that you can spend a few more moments in prayer. No hurry. We're going to serve every person before we dismiss. But you come and you partake. Make your way back to your seat. And we'll conclude in just a few moments. If there are children in the room who haven't accepted Christ, or people, adults maybe, who haven't received Christ, we ask that you not receive the Lord's Supper. It's something for believers to receive. You can only reflect on what these elements mean if they've changed your life. So just watch as others come forward. If your kid comes with you, perhaps they can watch and observe. But parents, you make that call. Right now, let's examine our hearts. And as God leads you, you make your way forward to one of these stations. Let's pray together.